Hey everyone, you're tuning into this week's message, where we listen to wisdom and insight on the Christian faith. As a listener, you will gain context of scripture, learn Jesus' teaching, and gain practical ways to apply them to your life, your family, your friends, and anyone around you. Whether you're just curious about the Christian faith and seeking knowledge, or you're growing in your faith, we invite you to listen to the foundational principles to a healthy, thriving walk with the Lord. We can't wait to dive in with you.
Open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 through 7. 2 Samuel, I think it's after 1 Samuel. Pastor's joke, so bad. Alex, you got it? All right. 2 Samuel chapter 10. In the course of time, the king of the Ammonites died. Everybody say, aw. And his son Hanun succeeded him as king. David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanun concerning his father. When David's men came to the land of the Ammonite nobles said to Hanun, their lord, do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to you to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you to explore the city and to spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun seized David's men, shaved half of each man's beard, cut off their garments in the middle of their buttocks. Some of us will call that the coin slot. Middle of their buttocks. And sent them away. When David was told about this, he sent messengers to meet them, for they were greatly humiliated. The king said, stay at Jericho till your beards have grown, and then come back. When the Ammonites realized they had become a stench in David's nostril, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a stench in my nostril. They hired 20,000 men. Somebody was scared. And also 12,000 men from Tob. There's a famous story about Muhammad Ali, the famous boxer, and he's flying on a commercial flight. And back whenever he was flying, back in that time, you kind of just would stand up and just kind of walk throughout the cabin, hang out, you know, talk to whomever you wanted to. So now that really isn't the case. You just kind of sit down and be quiet and then watch your movie. But they hit some turbulence and the captain put on the fasten seatbelt sign. And so everybody kind of moseyed off, got under seat. And the legendary boxer did one of the two things. He sat down, but he did not buckle his seatbelt. So a couple of minutes goes by, the stewardess walks up to him and says, sir, knowing who he is, he says, sir, you're going to have to buckle your seatbelt. He goes, don't you know who I am? And so they go back and forth. And, you know, she knows who he is and they're having fun with it. And then finally he gets pretty upset and he goes, ma'am, don't you know that Superman doesn't need to buckle his seatbelt? Without skipping a beat, the stewardess looks back at him and says, sir, don't you know that Superman doesn't need a jet? And so in that moment, you know, it's funny, but here's the thing. No one is Superman. Men, we are not supermen. Women, you are not superwoman. Everybody has some sort of weakness. And I want to talk about tonight one of the most heavy weaknesses that you and I face every single day, maybe once a week, maybe once a day. And I feel like I want to go to war against this weakness. And so I've been praying and seeking the Lord. And the weakness that I want to talk about tonight, that everyone is susceptible to is the weakness of offense. Every single one of us are going to be offended. I hate this. It frustrates me to no end. But here's the thing. Jesus said this was going to happen. In Luke 17, verse 1, he says, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." Woe just means I've got compassion on this person who has to deal with this offense. Everybody is susceptible to the trap of offense. And I'm going to talk later in a couple of minutes about how it is a trap and prove to you that the natural Greek of this word means that it is a trap. You're going to be wounded. Everyone is susceptible to it. It is going to come day and night. You might be walking through a fence right now. You might have some sort of offense that has been rooted up deep into your life years ago that you're walking through right now. You're going to get offended today, tomorrow. It's going to happen over and over and over again. Are you encouraged right now? Jesus himself said it. You cannot escape it. Someone's going to shame you. Someone's going to gossip about you. Someone's going to humiliate you. Someone's going to lie about you. Someone's going to misinterpret you. Somebody's not going to understand your heart. Someone's going to make you angry. Someone's going to make you feel violated. Judas was so offended that he turned Jesus into the Pharisees. I heard this amazing story. It's a make-believe story about Satan and his schemes. And so there's this fair that Satan puts on every single year. And it has many diverse items and trinkets. Things that are on sale like alcoholism, fornication, homosexuality, witchcraft, lying, etc. But there's two things on the shelf that underneath it, it says, not for sale. And so somebody walks up to Satan and says, "Satan, why are those two things not for sale?" He says, "These are the two instruments that he had used to destroy many destinies. And they have 100% of a success rate." He said, irrespective of race, color, economic status, age, they always deliver. And those two things are discouragement and offense. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We want to go to war on this right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would just open up our hearts. Allow us to be open to what you want to say through your holy word. God, speak through me. I pray, Lord, that we would have receptive hearts in the name of Jesus. God, we want deliverance. We need deliverance on this thing called offense and unforgiveness. We love you, Lord. Amen. One of my favorite shows is on Nat Geo, and it's called Life Below Zero.
Oh, I love that show.
See, I knew I liked you.
It's so good.
It's so good. And so in this, I'm watching a certain episode, and there's this guy who walks through how he traps animals. And so it's so interesting. Raise your hand if you know how to trap an animal. Jake, we all know you know how to. It's okay. You basically invented it, man. Your wisdom makes me feel like that. Amen. So he walks us through what it means to trap an animal. And so this particular animal, he's talking about a rabbit. Now these men and women, they have to kill their food in order to eat tomorrow. The nearest city is like 5 or 6 hours away. They can't afford to drive all the way in. It's dangerous. So they don't even do it. So they trap these animals. They sell their skin and fur for money. They eat the food. This certain guy, he talks us through how to trap a rabbit. And he says, rabbits are very, very specific in the paths that they travel. They'll wake up, they make a path from the snow, and they travel along those paths nonstop. And so they're very cunning in understanding of their surroundings. And so as they're hopping along, they will look at their surroundings, and if nothing's out of the ordinary, they will continue to go along these paths, right? So this is what I want you to get. There is a very specific comparison to how the enemy baits us and how he traps us. So I want you to pay attention to this analogy. So this rabbit is hopping along. If nothing's out of the ordinary, everything's good. This hunter knows that about that rabbit. So what he does is he gets his surrounding and he creates a trap out of its surrounding. And a typical snare is like an N-shaped twig. And in the N-shaped twig, there's this wire that they put in the middle. It's a noose. So this rabbit is running along. It gets stuck. It freezes to death and it dies. And so if this rabbit does not see it, gets trapped, but if it sees it, it stops, probably turns around and goes back the other way. But a good hunter is going to know the path, is going to know the species, is going to know what it's thinking. And so it does what it can to get that food. The word offense is exactly what I just explained to you. If you look at the Greek, it means a bent sapling. A bent sapling. That's what was used to catch this rabbit. There's two words. It's scandalizo, which is scandalize, and scandalon, which means a scandal. The word offense means to entice. Entice with the intentions of trapping you or ensnaring you. The enemy knows our path. He knows how to create this scenario that makes it seem as though everything is ordinary, everything's okay. But if we are not aware, if we are not in his word, we will get snared up every single time. I remember a time I was part of a Collide conference team a few years ago. And I'm walking, it's the first day of conference, and I walk into the auditorium. You kind of feel cool when you're like part of the team that does a lot of the stuff. So I'm like, I got some, you know, swagger going on. And I walk up, I see my name on the chair. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, bro. I did it. I made it. And so I sat down and I was so prideful the rest of the time. My worship was just wasted. Because I was like, this is all about me. Look, I got my name. Next day I walk in, got my brand new Air Force Ones, all white. Yeah. Yes, Lord. I walk in, I'm like, where's my name? Like, I had my name here, it was on the front row. But now I'm like, my name is not really on there. And so this is what the enemy does for me. He creates a scenario to where I can manipulate a question to get the answer that I want and make it seem as though I'm not being manipulative. That's my unholy gift. I can manipulate you and make you think that I'm for you, but I'm not. And so I have to fight against that. So I walk up to somebody who's like part of the chair on the back of the name in the back of the chair crew. And I'm like, hey, like, I don't even care, whatever. But what happened? He goes, oh, you're part of the other pastors. I'm like, I'm part of the other pastors? Don't you know who I am? I didn't say that. But here's the thing. It infuriated me. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is so stupid. This is a chair. I can worship the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength in a ditch. It does not matter what is going on. It was so stupid. In the back of my mind, this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, Lord, this is dumb. Why am I thinking this way? And it's because it was a trap. And I was so naive that I got caught. I got snared. Researchers will say that offense is a feeling that is triggered by a blow to a person's honor because it contradicts a person's self concept and identity. So these men in 2 Samuel are walking in thinking that all they're doing is they're making a peace treaty conversation, a peace treaty trip to say, hey, we've been King David and your dad have been friends forever, and we just want to honor you. And it is absolutely crazy what happens. They assume something. And then these advisors tell King Hanun that they're here to scope out all of our land. So they cut half their beards off. Like long beards, they cut it this way. So half their beard is here, half their beard is gone. They cut their tunics to expose their butts. But here's the thing, these men are not wimpy. These are men, these are David's mighty men. Like that we read about. Like they kill people with ox goads and just they pick stuff up and they start killing hundreds and hundreds of people. So why do you think they didn't have weapons? It's because they were assuming that it was a peaceful trip. They were unaware. But I just think about this. These men who were some of the greatest men to ever live. What were they thinking while this is happening? Like, oh, you are in for it. You have no idea what you're doing. The humility that these men have to go through to let this happen. Because I guarantee you, if they had their weapons, it would have been a different story. Maybe they did. But the humility to sit there and go through all this. King Hanun's men lied to the king. Probably to look like smart. Their name was in the back of a chair. To look cool, to feel purposeful. Here's what you have to understand. It's common for liars to suspect others of lying. Here's the principle. People you don't expect to do that will ultimately hurt you the most. These men and David had no idea. They weren't suspecting anything. Their guard was down. This is, when I think about this, I think about church hurt, family hurt. There's no way that Turner's going to hurt me. There's no way he will do that. There's no way Marcus will do that. There's no way my mom's going to do that. There's no way. The reason why it was so humiliating is because the beard represents something so special. The beards represented their status, their identity, who they were. They messed with their identity. They humiliated him. But here's the thing. These men were doing exactly what the king asked them to do. They were following orders. They were on king's assignment. What does that mean? You can be perfectly in God's will. You could be doing exactly what you know you're supposed to be doing. You could have 100% joy in what you're doing. And still, this stuff is going to happen. 100% in the will of God. So I would suggest that this stuff, this offense, could be part of God's plan. It could be a reason why things happen. There's a story of these birds on an island in New Zealand. And all these birds were flightless birds. They're walking around with nubs. And as they are walking around, this person's noticing this. And so this person asked one of the directors of this, I guess, reserve, it's like, why are all these animals flightless? Why are these birds just walking around, no care in the world? And it's because the guy said, it's because they have no opposition. They have no predator. Here's what you have to understand. We were born to grow in our opposition. The reason why this stuff happens is because God uses it to grow us and mature us. Sometimes opposition is going to be the best thing for us. It keeps us alive. How to respond to the offense could be, how to respond to the offense could be directly related to the trajectory of our lives in the future. So how do we respond to offense? I would suggest also that when you're desperate enough for God, you don't care what method he uses you to grow you. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, if you want him to, if you have bowed your knee to God Almighty, you will not care how he what he does to grow you. You will not care how he decides to grow you and how to mature you. Maybe the reason why you haven't received from God is because you're not desperate enough. You haven't determined how and when God should do something. I'm going to say this slow because it is so important. God is not obligated to work within our parameters. I said it slow, though. God is not obligated to work within our parameters. He chooses how he uses us. It is all up to him. But our desperation is connected to how much we grow. God is God, and he will do for us according to his timing and his terms. And when we get to that place and we say, Lord, have your way. Do with me with what you wish. Use me any way, shape, or form. Whatever happens, I'm going to give you glory. I'm not going to make the decision to lean into this offense, and we'll talk about that. When this stuff happens, God wants you to work something out. When God sends an offense or uses the offense, he doesn't send it, he uses it. When God uses an offense, he wants something to be worked out. Turner, it is so dumb that you think your name on the back of a chair is cool. It is so much more than that. I know that, God, but that's my name. That's so stupid. So what should have happened is I should not care. I'm thinking of scenarios. I think one of the greatest things that could offend us is not getting credit for something that we've done. That would, I feel like, offend most of us. But I would say most of us take credit for what God has done. I love this. Keys, come on up. I just said that because it's in my notes. No, for real, for real. For real. If it's in the notes, it has to happen. I love this. In 2 Samuel 10:5, when David was told about this, he sent his messengers to meet the men. Isn't that amazing? When David was told about this, someone saw this and ran straight to David. What an amazing friend. Like, that is such an incredible friend. For they were greatly humiliated. The king said, stay at Jericho till your beards have grown and then come back. Jericho is famously the city that was the first city that Joshua and Caleb had to conquer to get to the land of Canaan, which was the land that, the promised land. And so we all know the story. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, all that kind of stuff. Listen to this. Jericho means fragrant or sweet. So this is what happens. David said, hey, before you come back and probably get ridiculed even more, I want to send you to a sweet place to heal, to reconcile, to grow your beard out. A sweet place. You're not going to be humiliated. You're going to stay innocent through this entire process. My sweet place is my sweet wife. Yes. I demand a better clap for that. I'm joking. Don't. Stop it. So this is what we have learned. Jade talked about that we've walked through some personal story about offense. And all of last year was us trial and error on how to find our sweet place. And so if it's your spouse, if you have a spouse, that is your sweet place. And so you must war and fight and work on that. What happened with Joshua and Caleb? They fought to create a sweet place for these men. It was a long time before that, but that's what they did. So what does that mean? You have to fight for your sweet place. What I've learned is when I am hurt, when I am frustrated, what I cannot do is just say, that's dumb. We can't talk about that. No, I'm going to go to my wife. And we've understood a few things. Number one, whenever we're talking, we're not going to gossip. Number two, when we're talking, if we get irrational, outside the will of God, we're going to point each other back into the will of God. And we're also going to point each other to the Word of God. And so if people that you see as a sweet place, or it could be a literal place where it's like, I just need to go to this place and sit and rest. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. Bring a friend with you to your sweet place. Who you trust. Who is, whenever you're honest, they're not going to use that against you. Don't be a friend that uses secret honesty and authenticity against somebody. Do not do that. David said, I'm going to send you to a sweet place. When Jade and I talk, that is a sweet place. It's sometimes it gets loud. It gets pretty sugary. But we're always going to get back to a place where it's like, hey, God is good. I know it stinks. This is what we have to remember. To insult the ambassador is to insult the king. It was just as if they had insulted David. When we get insulted, when we walk through this offense, the offense is going war against our king. We are an ambassador of the king. In John 15, 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus knows what we're going through. What an offense it was for him to be wrongfully accused of something he did not do. Free Barabbas is an insult to our king. But the Bible says is that he was silent like a lamb being led to a slaughter. He did it because he had to fulfill the prophecies that had been spoken about him. In addition to that, he had to create a moment where we have salvation, where we can commune with the great high priest. He's hanging there naked on a cross. And then he says, Father, forgive them. That's not fair. But he did it anyways. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like. You have to understand this. Jesus knows exactly what you and I are walking through, what we're going to go through. Here's some signs that you're offended. No one can read that. If you can, then God bless you. Signs that you're offended. You withdraw from relationships and friendships. If you do not work on the offense, your best friend will be your enemy. That is how the offense works. There's no way. There's no way my wife, there's no way my friend will become my enemy. They will. If you do not handle the offense. You start to resent. You start to distrust. Colossians 3, 8 and 9. But now you yourselves are to put But you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off old man with his deeds. Betrayal. Offense can lead to betrayal of love and friendship. Will create disloyalty. You're praying and your prayers are not being answered. You can recall events really well. People who are hurt tend to have really good memory. Nonverbal communication filters. Every text that comes through from that person or associating with that person has a negative connotation connected to it. When a text comes in, it's like, I bet you this is what their tone is. This is how we deal with offenses. We forgive quickly. We learn to confront biblically. In Matthew 18, verse 15, there's a beautiful way to handle confrontation. If someone has sinned against you or you see someone sinning, biblically, you have the right to go up to them and rebuke them and confront them. You see somebody who's slipping into some sort of sin, you have the right and the command to walk up to them and say, this is something I see. We have to fix this. You gossiped about me. I'm not here to argue. I just want to say to your face, I forgive you. Matthew 18, chapter 15. Chapter 18, verse 15. Pray for your enemies. Make a decision early not to have revenge. Give the situation to God in prayers and stop talking about it. There are some times where you just need to shut up. Just quit talking about it. Because the more and more you talk about it, the more there is no resolve. If something's resolved, you forget about it, right? You love unconditionally. There's a towel somewhere. Can you throw it to me? God bless you. I wanted you to throw it to me. It's okay. Next time. So, how does this look on me? Good, thank you. This is what offense looks like. You walk around and you look just weird. You look weird. People who have discernment can see this, can see offense from a mile away. But this is also what unforgiveness looks like. The more you walk in with unforgiveness, the more this growth will start to happen. Unforgiveness and offense are so interconnected. But what happens is your offense and your unforgiveness will sting when someone starts to talk about it, starts to touch it, starts to kind of like figure out how do we get this healing. And so you have this unforgiveness. Say it's a gift. Someone has removed you from something that you feel like you're gifted in. You were unrightfully removed from a job and you create this offense. Everything's fine until somebody touches it. Like you can talk about it, anything else, but whenever you talk about that thing, I don't want you to talk about it anymore. It hurts. It stings too much. But what happens is As we do not address these things, you start to get these growths all over your body. And you just walk around so sensitive, so insecure, because you have not dealt with something. We'll close with this. Ben, you guys can come on up. There's this amazing story. It's a movie now, or it's been a movie for a while. It's Black Hawk Down. It's a great movie. But there's this scene in this movie, and it's, you know, it's a book and obviously real life. But there's this one moment where they're getting in a car to leave. There's fire all around them. It's a massive firefight. Hundreds and hundreds of people against this group of Americans. Fire comes in nonstop. And then one of the captains is like, they have a chance to get in this car and just drive away. And this captain and one of his soldiers, they're having this conversation, and the soldier's freaking out. And he goes, "Captain, I don't want to move. I'm hit. I'm wounded. I can't get up." And there's a famous line. He goes, "Shut up, boy. Get in the truck and drive. Everybody's wounded." What does that mean? All of us are wounded. All of us are wounded some way, shape, or form. And so when you feel this way, when you feel that angst or that frustration, just know that you're in good company. Everybody has been wounded some way, shape, or form in their life. And so, can I just say, walk a little more in grace moving forward. Give people grace. We are humans. We are sinners. And praise God, we are sinners saved by grace. And it's not of our works, so that no man could boast. So we're all wounded. We're all hurting. Let's walk a little bit more peacefully, a little bit more gracefully. If someone has hurt you and has wounded you, go to God first. Don't you dare start using social media to let out your anger. Please don't. That stuff just comes back to you sevenfold. So go to God who knows how we feel. The Bible says that we have a great high priest that is acquainted with our grief. So he knows our grief. He knows our frustration. And so what I want to do is, I've walked through some deliverance this last year. And so I want us, do not leave here if you have some sort of offense that is attached to you. Don't do that. Why would you walk out of here with that growth? Let the Holy Spirit, let him heal you. So let's stand up. And then leaders, if y'all want to just kind of, one or two of y'all, maybe couples, just be ready to pray. Let's make that decision. Make the decision. If you have offense, which if nobody has offense in this room, statistically that means we've all been raptured and we're in heaven. And that's not what I've heard. I haven't heard trumpets yet. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I'm joking, Chandler. Chill out, dog. But I'm serious. I don't want us to walk around offended. Just don't allow the enemy to whisper to you one more moment. You can last a little longer. That's not true. Don't let him snare you up. Don't let him trap you up. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would fall afresh on us. We ask, Lord, that you would allow us to be bold in our repentance. God, if I have offended anybody in this room, I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me and that person would have the boldness to come up to me after or right now. Because the worst thing that could happen is there's enmity between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So we trust you in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray.
Man, we are so glad that you tuned in with us. We hope that the Lord has dropped something valuable in your heart. We cannot wait to do this again. See you next week.